Thanks for listening to the Gospel Church Podcast. We hope that this podcast is used by God to help us all grow closer to Jesus Christ. If you would like to get connected to our church or give to the mission, you can visit our website at thegospelchurch.com. Now for this week's sermon.
This morning, I'm excited for us to continue walking through our sermon series, I Am, Jesus in His Own Words, where we're looking at the I Am statements of Jesus that are found throughout the book of John, and we are trying to understand who Jesus is, right? I think our world tries to tell us who Jesus is. I think well-meaning people, even within the church, would try to tell us who Jesus is. And I think it's helpful for us to have conversations about that among ourselves, to read books by theologians and pastors and preachers and teachers. But I think it's incredibly important for us to root ourselves in Scripture and to see for ourselves who God declares himself to be through Jesus here in these I Am statements. So these I Am statements are found in John, and really the purpose of John writing these I Am statements and highlighting them is for him to fulfill what he says at the very end of his book. At the very end of his book, the very last verse says that these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. That is the purpose of these I Am statements, is for us to see and to know that Jesus is who he says he is. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. And these I Am statements teach us more about who God is and what God does in our life. So last week, we started this series in John chapter 6, where Chandler was able to kind of lay a great foundation for us heading into this sermon series. So last week, he told us that these I Am statements are a reference all the way back to Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. Here we see Moses interacting with God through the burning bush. And God is calling Moses and he's saying, hey, I need you to go to Pharaoh. I need you to lead the Israelite people out of Egypt and take them to the promised land. And Moses is sitting here saying, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know if anybody's going to believe me. What am I supposed to do? Who am I supposed to say sent me? And God simply responds, I am who I am. Tell the people that I am has sent you. And so as Jesus is making these I Am statements to his listeners, to these Jewish people who are gathered at the temple, they would know and they would understand that Jesus is referencing back to these I Am statements, claiming divinity for himself and cementing himself as the Son of God. So last week, John chapter 6, we specifically looked at the I Am statement, I am the bread of life. And Chandler told us that this bread of life saves us, it sustains us, it satisfies us, and it provides for us. So again, Jesus has the bread of life, much like bread does for us here in this life. It is something that is able to sustain us. It is able to nourish us. It is able to satisfy our hunger. It provides for our needs. So Jesus, as the bread of life, does those things for us spiritually. And this morning, we turn our attention to the second I Am statement of Jesus that is found in John chapter 8. So if you want to grab your Bibles and turn there with me, we will be in John chapter 8, beginning in verse 12. If you're with us here in person and you don't have a Bible or don't want to pull out your phone, there should be a Bible at the edge of your row under the seat. You can grab that and use that. If you don't have a Bible, that's our gift to you. We'd love for you to have that and be able to take that to use in your own time. But again, we're in John chapter 8, beginning in verse 12. And it says, Jesus spoke to them again, I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Of life. Let us pray. I want to encourage you to take some time at your seats to pray and ask the Lord to ready your heart, to quiet the distractions you may be bringing into this room. and to help you see and hear clearly what he is saying through his word this morning. I want to encourage you to, if you wouldn't mind, say a prayer for me, that I would speak clearly, that I would focus on expressing the word of God and not on impressing anyone in the room. And pray for the people next to you, that God would speak to them as well. God, I thank you that you are here with us in this room. I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to each of us. In the Bible, we read that your word does not return to you void, so we cling to that promise today. And we ask that we would each leave here with a deeper understanding of who you are and who you have called us to be, and with a greater sense of joy in our calling as the people of God. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So here we are in John chapter 8, and Jesus has made the provocative statement, "I am the light of the world." To set the scene for us a little bit, beginning in John chapter 7, we see that we find ourselves in the Jewish calendar at the Festival of Booths. So this is an annual celebration, an annual festival where the Jewish people would gather in order to celebrate God's faithfulness in the crop for that year and celebrate God's faithfulness to their ancestors as he led them through the wilderness. And so the Jewish people have all gathered together for this festival. And as a part of this festival, the priest each night would light four massive candles in the middle of the temple courts. And at night, the light from these candles could be seen all throughout the city. And so it's here with this backdrop, this light that is being shown throughout the city, that Jesus is sitting here in the temple and he is declaring to the people who are around him, "I am the light of the world." So what does it mean that Jesus is the light of the world? I think sometimes, personally, when I approach scripture, I can tend to say, there's got to be some really deep, hidden meaning here, right? There's got to be something that, like, I'm just missing. I've got to dig really deep below the surface in order to understand what's happening here. And I think it's important for us as we study Scripture and as we approach God's Word that we don't always sit just on the surface, right? But I think it's important for us to understand that when Jesus is talking, or when Jesus is teaching, he tends to teach with these word illustrations and these parables because he is seeking to be understood, right? Jesus is not trying to confuse us here with his language. He's not trying to have some super deep hidden meaning that's going to take us years to figure out. So I just want us to ask a simple question. If Jesus says he is the light of the world, what does it mean to be a light? What is a light, right? So I did what every good person in this room would probably do when they're trying to find a definition, right? I went to Google. Right? And I Googled definition of light. Very simple search term. It's funny that we're now in times where, like, we've quit saying Merriam-Webster defines light as. We just said, I went to Google and it said this. But I went to Google and I Googled the definition of light. And it said that light is the phenomenon that both stimulates sight and makes things visible. So light is the phenomenon that both stimulates sight and makes things visible. So Jesus here, as he is claiming that he is the light of the world, is saying that he is the one that is able to allow the world to see, the people of the world to see the true realities around them and to understand the things of this earth. He gives the ability to see and he gives clarity to the things that are seen. He stimulates sight, and he makes things visible. So from this statement, we were able to infer, or we were able to see kind of the negative of it, that without Jesus, we can't see. And the things that we even feel like we're seeing, we're not even seeing clearly. This is what Jesus is referring to when he says that anyone who follows him will never walk in darkness. You see, the true reality that we face here in this world is that if we are without Christ, we are constantly walking in darkness. We are blind, we are unable to see, we are unable to understand, we are unable to comprehend the world around us as it truly is. We're sitting here, what, a year and a half, maybe a little longer, into a global pandemic. We see job markets just totally fluctuating with people coming and going from all of their jobs. We see a world that is lost and that is confused. We see people who are searching around for a sense of meaning and a sense of purpose. They're trying to find that purpose and meaning in possessions. They're trying to find it in fame. They're trying to find it in power and authority at work. They're trying to find it in achievement, whatever they can do. But they are blind. They can't fully understand the world because they are not viewing it through the lens of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus is sitting here and he is saying, if you are someone who is looking for purpose, if you are looking for meaning, if you are seeking to understand the world around you, the only way that you can do that is through me. The only way that you can see, the only way that you can understand, the only way that you can live a life of meaning and of purpose is if you look to me. So he's calling us here to look to him as the light of the world. If you're someone who is sitting in this room and you feel disoriented and disheartened, if you feel as though the darkness of the world around you is overcoming you, if you feel anxious and depressed, isolated and hopeless as a result of the situation around you, I encourage you to look to Jesus as the light of the world, and he will illuminate the world to you. He will give you sight, and he will help you be able to see things rightly. So as the light of the world, Jesus has come to reveal two primary things to us, in my opinion, that we see from this passage. First, we see that Jesus has come to reveal our path. So the light of the world reveals our path. He says, anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness. By making this statement, he is saying intrinsically that Jesus is going to serve as our guide, right? Anyone who follows me, this means that Jesus himself is going to be leading. And so Jesus is saying, and he is offering his presence as a guide for us in this life. He's going to shepherd us along. And we see all throughout the Old Testament that God, in and of himself, is in the business of leading people, in the business of shepherding people, in the business of guiding people, his people, the Israelites. We see this most strikingly in Exodus chapter 13. In this chapter, we see that the Israelites have come to the end of their time in captivity in Egypt. Pharaoh has said, I'm done with this. You people have caused me enough trouble. Go on, be about your business. And so as the Israelites are exiting Egypt, in Exodus 13, verse 20, it says, they set out from Succoth and camped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. The Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to lead them on their way during the day, and in a pillar of fire to give them light at night, so that they could travel day or night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night never left its place in front of the people. So from this passage, we see that God's heart, God's desire is to lead his people, is to shepherd them, is to show them the way in which they should go. And Jesus continues that and continues to model that for us through his life. He models it for us in a little bit different way, though. Jesus is not just showing us where to go from point A to point B. Jesus is calling us to follow him as a rabbi would call his students to follow him. So Jewish rabbis are people who study the law. They study the Jewish law, and they teach the law to their students, and they help them understand how to apply the law to their lives. In a way, a rabbi is someone who teaches his students how to live. And so if you were to follow a rabbi, you are called to imitate the way that they live. You are called to live as they themselves are living. And that is what Jesus is calling us to do here. Jesus, as the light of the world, is revealing our path, saying, come, follow me. Imitate the way that I live, and you will have life and life abundantly. And so it would take years and years for us to unpack what it looks like to imitate Jesus, how to follow Jesus perfectly, but I'm just going to pose three different things that characterize the life of Jesus that I think we can take and we can use to help us to follow Jesus rightly. First, if you look to the Gospels, you see that Jesus' life was characterized by prayer. Jesus' life was characterized by prayer. If you read any of the gospel accounts, you see that Jesus continually seeks out times where he could get away, where he could be alone, and he could spend time praying to God the Father. We see in Matthew's story of feeding the 5,000 that Jesus dismisses the crowd, and then he goes off to the mountain to be alone and to pray. We see in Mark chapter 1 that Jesus gets up very early in the morning before anyone else has risen, and he makes time to go to be by himself and to pray. And we see even in his darkest moment, in his final hours here on this earth, as he is in the Garden of Gethsemane, he takes time to fall down on his knees to the Father and to pray. He lived a life that reflected a dependence upon God through prayer. And so if we are to be a people who are to follow Jesus, if we are to look to the light of the world to reveal our path, we should be a people who are dedicated to prayer. We also see that Jesus' life was characterized by a knowledge, a study of Scripture. Jesus' earthly life and ministry was saturated in Scripture. We see this clearly from the account of his temptation in Matthew chapter 4. Right, as the devil pulls Jesus aside and he's trying to tempt him and try him in his faith, over and over again, we see that Jesus responds to the temptation with God's word. He quotes Scripture. We see throughout his teaching in the temples and all throughout the towns that he is pulling from Scripture continually. And we even see with the rich young ruler as he approaches Jesus and he asks him, how should I inherit eternal life? Jesus responds to him by quoting the Ten Commandments. Jesus was someone who was well-versed in Scripture. He took time to study God's word and to know God's word. He knew the Old Testament law, prophets, and writings. You see, if we are to be a people who are to imitate the life of Jesus, if we are to look to the light of the world in order to see the way in which we should live, it is crucial for us to spend time in Scripture. Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If we want to know the way that we should live in this world, it is crucial that we spend time studying God's word. So we see first that Jesus' life is characterized by prayer. Second, that Jesus' life is characterized by Scripture. And finally, we see that Jesus' life is characterized by service. His days of his earthly ministry are constantly filled with him going around these towns, preaching and teaching and healing. People are brought to him day after day after day with these afflictions, with these problems, and Jesus spends his life in service to them. Mark chapter 10 summarizes it this way: the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus came to earth and he served us all, even to the point of death. And so if we want to follow Jesus, if we want to be a people who imitate his life, we must be a people who pray, a people who study God's word, and a people who serve. Now that's a large call, obviously. That's something that is hard to put into practice daily or hard to live out faithfully day in and day out. But thankfully, Jesus did not expect us to do this in our own power. You see, Jesus calls us to live this way, but he has given us his Holy Spirit as a guide and as a counselor, one who will teach us, one who will encourage us, one who will remind us of everything that Jesus has told us. He promises us this in John chapter 14. If you've never read that passage before, I would encourage you to do so. Here he promises us that as he leaves, he is going to send one behind, the Holy Spirit, who is going to be with us day by day by day, and who will empower us to live as God has called us to live. So as we look to the light of the world, as we see the life of Jesus, we see the way in which we are called to live. The light of the world reveals our path. And as we follow this path and as we imitate the life of Jesus, the light of the world also reveals our purpose. The light of the world reveals our purpose. Again, Jesus said, "Anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." You see, as we follow Jesus, we're not just following the light, but we ourselves have become bearers of the light. We have the light ourselves. Jesus references this in John chapter 9, verse 5. John chapter 9, verse 5 says, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. So from this, we can see that Jesus is saying when he leaves this world, not necessarily that he ceases to become the light of the world, but there is a different light in the world that must continue shining. And that light of the world is us. We have been entrusted with the light. We have been given the light of life. So he makes this explicit for us, our call to be bearers of light in Matthew chapter 5. If you look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "You are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on the lampstand, and it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." From this passage, I think it's abundantly clear that we who follow Christ are called not only to follow him just to look good and to do the right things, right? But we are called to follow Christ in order to take the light of the world to those who are around us. Now that Jesus has ascended into heaven, he has entrusted the mission of God to us. And we are called to be a light to the world around us. It was put this way by an English theologian, William Temple. He said, "The church exists primarily for those who are outside of it." The church exists primarily for those who are outside of it. So we, as the gathered body of those who believe in Jesus Christ, we as the church exist not for ourselves. We don't exist to shine that light in this room. We exist to shine the light that we have been given in the world around us, to those who do not know Jesus. So if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, then your calling and your purpose in this life is to imitate Christ and to take the light of life, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to give it to those who are around us. The gospel message that God created the world, he made man in his own image. The gospel message that humanity and their desire to be gods themselves turned against the Lord, sinned, and rebelled against him. But the true hope, the true light, the true good news, that Jesus was sent to live the life that we could not and to die in our place so that we could be forgiven of our sins and we could be made right in our relationship with God. We could inherit eternal life and spend the rest of our lives in heaven with him. This is the message that we have been given. This is the message that we have been entrusted with. And this is the message that we are called to take to the world around us. So that's what we are called to do today, church. We are called to look to the light of the world. And in doing so, we are able to see rightly how we are to live and why we are to live. We are to live imitating the life of Jesus, spending our time in prayer, in scripture, and in service to those around us, not so that we look good, but so that those who are around us may see the light that we have and give glory to God, our Father. This is a tall task. This is something that is hard to complete on our own, but there is hope. John chapter 1 tells us that the light has shined in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. We have a promise that if we take this light to the world, that we as light bearers are going to dispel the darkness around us. The battle is finished. The war is won. All that is left is for us to follow in obedience to what God has called us to do.